Hey, through the word, welcome to Psalm 149 on our journey today. We are almost to the end, and that is cause for celebration. Never let it be said that the Lord doesn't know how to party. This is the Party Praise Psalm, and you are invited. Let's kick off with praise then in verse 1 and get this party started. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of His faithful people. So, the party started, but what's a special occasion? This party is to celebrate the people of God being brought back home from captivity. The Babylonians had swept them away to Babylon, where they couldn't worship God for 70 years. But now, God, who always keeps His promises, promised that He would rescue them and bring them back if they started worshiping Him again and Him alone. And now that they're back, it's time to get their worship groove on. After all, new mercies demand new songs. Just like verse 1 says, sing to the Lord a new song and praise in the assembly of His faithful people. They'd sung the old songs in their captivity about how God had long ago brought His people back from Egypt. But now, God had brought them out of captivity from Babylon. Singing an old song versus a new song is the difference between attending someone else's party versus attending your own. It was a new deliverance. Therefore, they sang a new song. And the mercies of the Lord are new every morning for you and I. So what new mercies can we craft into a new song today? Verse 2 continues with their reasons. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. God isn't just Israel's maker. He's their rightful king. You see, in the past, they let those kings lead them astray into worshiping idols. That's what got them into this mess with the Babylonians. But now, God was their king. From now on, they'd obey Him more than any other king. And that faithfulness, my friends, was a reason to celebrate. And in verse 3, the party really gets going. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let His faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. There are two types of people at a party, dancers and wallflowers. Chris Langham is in the first category. That man can cut a rug when the DJ plays his song. But me, it takes a crowbar to get me off the wall. I don't care if they've broken out timbrel and harp like they have here in this psalm. But verse 4 could tempt me to do some toe tapping. It says, for the Lord takes delight in His people. And that is something to rejoice over. And this psalm is all about the joy. Rejoicing means you have joy. But then you joy all over it again. You see, they get home from the party in verse 5 after cutting a rug and dancing for the Lord. And after rejoicing in His honor at the party, they just can't stop singing in their beds. Reread verse 5 with me. Let His faithful people rejoice in His honor and sing for joy in their beds. But they're going to need their sleep because tomorrow, they'll have to get up and fight. If you've read the book of Nehemiah, you'll know that as soon as the Israelites got back to their abandoned homeland, there were enemies there. Enemies who tried to stop them from rebuilding so that they could worship. So in verse 6, we see the emergence of the worshiping warrior, those who would guard their privilege to worship the Lord with their very lives. May the praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all His faithful people. Praise the Lord. At first you think, wait, what? Well, why is He so mean? I thought this was a party. I thought Israel, after all, were happy, and they were the good guys. But my friends, we miss the context. they were going to be under the threat of attack day and night. Like the old Western, where they're having the hoedown, and all of a sudden the bandits ride in, swoop in, steal all the apple pie, and shoot everyone dead. In fact, the book of Nehemiah tells us that they had to build the walls back up with tools in one hand and a sword strapped to their belt. These verses aren't so much a go get them as much as a try to come get us. See what happens. God is with us again, and he'll fight for us. You see, they'd been bound with fetters. They'd been bound in shackles of iron, and now they knew that God would be executing justice and payback for all the nations had done to them. God was fulfilling his promises to bless them again. He fulfilled his promise to curse them if they worshiped other gods. But he also sent them prophets, trying to woo them back, to reason with them, but they wouldn't listen. In the end, deportation was the only thing that got their attention. But God never washed his hands of them. He promised that if they humbled themselves, he'd bring them back. And God always keeps his promises, good or bad. This is the glory of all his faithful people, says verse 9. God always keeps his promises. So, knowing that today, what are you waiting for? The final verse tells you what you need to do. Praise the Lord. All right then, I better go. I'm starting to peel myself off this wall a little bit, and I don't want to ruin my cool guy reputation and be seen on the dance floor. So I'll see you next time when I join you on your journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.